It's Wednesday, the 25th of May, 2022. Thank you for listening to today's edition of The World and Everything in It. Good morning. I'm Nick Eicher.
And I'm Mary Reichard. Up first, what went wrong in Afghanistan? We all remember the heartbreaking images from the pullout. Afghans so desperate to escape that they died trying to cling to the outside of U.S. military planes as they took off. The Taliban quickly seized control of the country faster than U.S. forces could get out.
So what happened? The most recent report from a top U.S. watchdog offers some answers. It's the report of the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. And joining us now to talk about that report is Bill Raggio. He is a U.S. Army veteran who is embedded with the U.S. Marine Corps, Army, and Iraqi forces in Iraq, as well as the Canadian Army in Afghanistan in the early 2000s.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, both Presidents Biden and Trump blame each other for the disaster in Afghanistan, but the IG report says both administrations are to blame. And I want to start with something in the report. I'm quoting here. There was a red light blinking on Afghanistan for years saying, watch out. Once the morale collapsed, that was it. Bill, do we have all the blame all sorted out?
Yeah, I would add that the Obama administration as well bears culpability in this. The situation in Afghanistan was deteriorating long before President Trump signed the deal with the Taliban, and the Obama administration set that in motion by opening negotiations with the Taliban. To President Obama's credit, he didn't cut a deal with them, so. Yeah, this is a problem that was spanning well over a decade. The U.S. surge essentially failed. I created a map of Afghanistan. You probably saw it over the summer. You watched Afghanistan deteriorated. I recognized in 2014 that our counterinsurgency strategy was flawed, that there were serious problems with the Afghan government and Afghan military, and began documenting the Taliban strategy and how they were gaining ground in the rural areas and took the fight to the urban areas. This is all interrelated. This is a decade plus of failures. But the President Biden should not be pointing the finger at President Trump. President Trump shouldn't be pointing the finger at President Biden. They should be pointing the fingers at each other as well as themselves, because this is a foreign policy failure that was a decade plus in the making.
Talk more, if you would, about the U.S. agreement with the Taliban under President Trump. That the report says that devastated the morale of Afghan forces. Remind us how that came about and what was actually agreed to.
Yeah, President Trump was bent on ending the so-called forever wars or ending the endless wars. It's a talking point that has been taken up by both the isolationist right and much of the left as well. There was a bipartisan desire to leave Afghanistan. President Trump thought that he can cut a deal with the Taliban. That deal was supposed to have the Taliban denounce or not have a relationship with Al-Qaeda. They would respect women's rights. They would negotiate in good faith with the Afghan government. But the Afghan government was cut out of the talks. The U.S. negotiated directly with the Taliban. The Taliban always said that it would not talk to the Afghan government because it viewed the Afghan government as a puppet, a pawn of the West. And President Trump's negotiations just proved the Taliban's point. The Afghan government felt that it was cut out from this deal and the military. Once this deal was signed, it was a deal between the U.S. government and the Taliban. With the Afghan government had no buy-in. They were forced to release prisoners under pressure of the U.S., and that is the Special Investigator General report. Really, you know, it just reinforced what we all knew, that that was the beginning of the end of Afghanistan. Me and my colleagues at the Long War Journal at FDD, we were against this deal. We spoke out against it at the time. We predicted this would be the end of the Afghan government. And President Biden, with his precipitous withdrawal, that was just merely the nail in the coffin, the final nail in the coffin.
Bill, as you mentioned, the report said the Afghan government was left in the dark about details of the agreement and that the Taliban weaponized the lack of communication. They claim to have a secret deal for certain districts or provinces to be surrendered to them. And that led to many police officers and soldiers to abandon their posts. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, absolutely. That deal was 3 1/3 pages long. And much of the text was, I think it was like 19 lines in it, where the U.S. Referred to the Taliban, but wouldn't recognize the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. That's what the Taliban wanted to call us. So probably about a quarter of the text was just the U.S. denying that the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan was the Taliban. I signed car agreements that were far longer, car loan agreements and insurance documents. There was nothing in this deal that was ever, there was no talk of enforcement, of how you can, what would happen if the Taliban didn't, you know, walk back on the agreement. And then the Taliban used this agreement to, you know, they used it as propaganda. They, to say the U.S. is leaving. They took this deal to Afghan commanders and politicians at the local level and at the provincial level and said, look, they're leaving. You're going to have to, you're going to either fight us to the death. We're willing to fight to the death. Or you're going to, you know, or you could surrender or you can walk away. And that really killed the morale of the Afghan security forces in particular.
You know, the report also talked about the reduction of U.S. airstrikes to support Afghan forces. And that happened a long time before the pullout did. What happened there and what was the impact of that?
Yeah, the U.S. promised the Taliban that, this was just a terrible deal. And part of that was the U.S. would stop attacking the Taliban, except in cases where it would be defending either Afghan forces at bases or U.S. forces from attack. But it wasn't just the air support. It was when particularly during the withdrawal, when the U.S., they cut off not only the airstrikes, but the logistics, medical evacuations, all of the things. The entire Afghan security forces was predicated on U.S. air and logistical support. And once that was withdrawn, once it began declining and then fully withdrawn when President Biden announced the withdrawal in mid-April, you know, again, it was just a foregone conclusion that we built the Afghan security forces to rely on the U.S. military, and then we yanked the rug out from under them, and then we expected the Afghan security forces. And then the Biden administration had the audacity to say that the Afghan military wasn't willing to fight. They were willing to fight, but we trained them to fight in a certain way. And then we told them, oh, you can't fight that way. Now you're on your own.
Final question, Bill. What do we know about the Taliban's relationship with Al-Qaeda now and any possible gathering threats in Afghanistan?
Yeah, the Taliban relationship with Al-Qaeda remains as strong as ever. The two fought together as allies for 20 years against U.S. invaders. Al-Qaeda leaders have returned to Afghanistan. U.S. intelligence estimates there's about 200 Al-Qaeda operatives in Afghanistan. That's a stale number that they've recirculated for well over 6-7 years. And their previous estimate of 50 to 100 Al-Qaeda, this is something I documented over the years, was wildly flawed before that. The U.S. has next to no visibility. The General McKenzie, the previous commander, said the U.S. has 1-2% of visibility and intelligence in Afghanistan prior to that number compared to when U.S. had forces there. There's been zero strikes against Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups operating in Afghanistan since the U.S. withdrew at the end of August. There's numerous reports out there that there's foreign fighters flocking there. And the Taliban they deny that there's any foreign fighters there. And yet we know they're there. This is part of the big lie of the Taliban. They say that Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorist groups aren't there, but we all know they are. The U.S. has zero ability to enforce that part of the agreement because the distances to conduct strikes from Doha to Afghanistan, it's a 10-hour flight to and from with only 10 hours of about loiter time. It's just not enough time to gather enough intelligence and get strikes. And we have zero intelligence assets on the ground as well. So it's a disaster. Afghanistan has become a safe haven for Al-Qaeda and other allied terror groups. And the U.S. is basically pretending that it's not a problem.
Bill Roggio is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Bill, thanks so much.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.